we are back and live, and welcome to anybody that's watching, or everybody that's watching. We are here tonight with Philip Wyatt. How you doing?
Hey. Philip. Good to be here. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, thanks for coming on. Let's see, you are a paranormal research admin for ITC
Collaboration.
Collaboration, thank you. Oh my God, my brain's not working.
I am sorry. It's Friday night, yeah.
I've had a very long week and kind of a cruddy one, but anyway. So you got your website scrolling at the bottom down here, right, Joe?
That's it. Sure. That's my team website.
Your team website. All right. So for viewers that don't know you or haven't heard of you or anything, I usually ask the simple little question in the beginning for you to be able to introduce yourself to everybody.
Okay.
It's very simple. It's what got your interest and got you started in the paranormal?
Well, this is kind of funny, but Scooby-Doo when I was a kid.
That's a good one.
I loved it, but it terrified me, and I would hide behind the chair and peep around and watch it. And my sister would make fun of me. And then later on, I realized I did have abilities, and I was seeing things which freaked me out terribly. And I had nobody to talk to about it because my dad was a fireman, my mom, Sunday school teacher. You didn't talk about those things. So Scooby-Doo's what really got me into it. But then later on, down the road, I was on vacation in St. Augustine, and I went on a ghost tour. And we were in this location where these murders had happened, and there were three of us standing there, and this ball of light shot right in front of me.
Wow.
And nobody said anything, and I'm like, okay, am I having a stroke? Did I really see that? And then another one went by, and I said, oh, okay, y'all had to have seen that, right? And they're like, yeah, this place is very active. And then I learned that was an orb.
Okay.
And my head exploded, and I've been diving in ever since, yeah. But that was some years ago.
So what kind of investigations do you like to do, the private ones or the open area ones? Or
My team does mostly private residential. I like trying to solve a mystery, mm-hmm. So many times, it's not paranormal. There's other reasons for what's going on in their homes. And we've run across some doozies that I could tell you about. We ended up in court testifying about,
wow.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. But, The public places are fun, but it's kind of to me like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like they're there. We know we're there. We know. So I like the private residential. I like helping people. I like easing their fears, giving them answers to their questions. And, mm-hmm. most of the time it's not a demon. There's been a couple cases. But I have done, I think my favorite public place was Brushy Mountain State Pen in Tennessee.
You know, a lot of people that we talk to like Brushy Mountain.
Oh, my God. I got grabbed on the back of the leg there, about jumped out of my skin. I mean, it was great. I loved it.
every time I hear any person that
we Rhonda Young was the first one that comes to mind that talked about that place, I think.
Anytime we hear any of the people we interview talk about Brushy Mountain, it just makes me want to go there.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's a big place. I mean, it's huge.
I can imagine so.
I loved it.
But so you did say something that kind of intrigued me a little bit. You said it wasn't a demon this time.
So we
dealt with demons?
Not some God horrible thing like you see on television. More of a minor infestation. I mean, it was demonic from the growling. I mean, we had audible growling at us. And you know that sound. When you hear it, you know it. I mean,
oh,
you know
yeah, you do.
you just know it because it makes your skin crawl. Mm-hmm. And I've had that in two different cases. But
interesting.
Yeah. The one case we were working on a documentary on, we five people that had lived in the home had all died prematurely for various reasons. And but then COVID hit and we didn't get to finish it. We didn't get to finish the interviews and all the other things. So I don't know if we're ever going to get it finished, but we got some crazy stuff in that house. The house is still empty, by the way, after nobody wants to go in the house.
Wow.
So it had, has anybody been in there to investigate? I mean, other than your interviews,
we've been three times to the house.
So you've gotten some interesting stuff there.
I've gotten called some nasty names on the spirit box, names that, you know, when they say, oh, it's radio bleed, well, you would not hear these words on the radio.
That's when you can tell it apart from a radio.
Yeah, exactly. And
when you get those seven deadly words that you can't speak on
seven
the radio.
Seven words that you can't say on TV, yeah. George Carlin.
It was saying F you, like every time I would ask a certain question, F you.
Sounds like it didn't want to be questioned.
That was more of the mild response that I got, but.
Wow.
Yeah. The place was crazy. And it was just a three-bedroom, two-bath ranch house. I mean, it was not some scary mansion, but there was just the evilness in that house that the only way you could describe it, it had to have been a minor demonic infestation. I mean, there were human spirits in the house, the owner and her boyfriend who had passed in the house. We got their voices on EVPs, and we helped them cross over and get out, but the nasty thing's still there is probably as far as we know.
But so basically no one's been in there to even try to cleanse it or try to
The ladies on my team do the cleansing, and the last time we did they did a cleansing but that was a year ago, and then COVID hit and we couldn't go back. So
we know what it's like to be in that boat.
Yeah, they did the salt and crystals and the blessings and that, you know, the whole. I'm not a cleanser, so
sage.
Yeah, the ladies on my team handle that. I'll help spirits move on through, you know, mediumship techniques, but the cleansing is not my thing.
Well, yeah, I just kind of wondering because being the background I have with Wicca and everything, I have actually. And I feel more comfortable talking about it now since we've been doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I have actually banished class one and class two demons.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that I don't really want to do because I'm afraid it'll interfere with my mediumship of connecting with higher spirits.
I understand that.
And I'm afraid that will start to come in too much. And I don't want to, you know, I want to keep it away from that. But there's others on my team. Jonathan handles the demons on our team. The girls do the cleansing. I do the love and light and help the spirits and help communicate with the homeowners, that kind of thing.
Cool. So is Jonathan does he study demonology then?
He knows all about that and Santeria and all those things that I'm not really drawn to. So that's what makes our team really great. Everybody brings their own special thing to the table. Because
right.
I'm not interested. I mean, he will chase a demon or whatever. And I'm like, you go ahead.
God, he sounds like me. Yeah, Joe wants to put a challenge against me because I keep telling him and everybody else I don't have that flight response.
There's the whole team.
Well, the problem is I react physically to that negative energy that I start choking, like dramatically start choking in my throat and I have to leave. So I don't like, you know, it's not fun. No.
Well, that's not a pleasant feeling no matter what.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I'll have to leave and go outside and ground myself, regroup, do, you know, a few other things, and then dive back in. But yeah, if it catches me off guard, it's like my throat closes up.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened at one location when we pulled in the driveway.
That's a lot of energy then.
It was, yeah, that happened.
That's a heck of a lot of energy if it's catching you when you just pull into
the driveway. Yeah, I got out of the van and I was like choking to death. And they're like, are you okay? I said, yeah, it's gonna be a doozy. Yeah, that's one of the ones where we got growled at, was that house. Yeah,
that's pretty cool though. See, I like that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, but that's because I've dealt with stuff like that in the past. Yeah.
Well, there's a photo of me sitting. I'm sitting in the, it was a dining room, living room combo, and I'm sitting there listening to my recorder. And one of the girls takes a photo with a full spectrum camera, not video camera, but camera. And there's this black mass coming out of the ceiling, and each picture is getting lower and lower. And I'm not seeing it because it's, you know, in a different spectrum. If I had seen that, my ass would have been out the door. I mean, it was a black, thick mass. Like, I mean,
I'm with you. I wouldn't want to stick around and have that stuff touch me either.
I mean, that's not a good thing. You know, that's not a happy, yay spirit. That's something nasty.
Yeah. And if you believe in enough of this stuff, you know, possession's possible. And if that thing's coming down to possess me, I don't think so.
No,
I've seen Supernatural too much. I know what the, you know, possession does to some of them bodies afterwards. They end up dead. I don't want to end up dead. I keep telling everybody I'm living forever.
I went to some friends and I went to Hales Bar Dam. Have you heard of it in Tennessee? The haunted dam.
No, I haven't heard of
it. It's been on Kindred Spirits and Ghost Adventures, a few other places. I mean, there was like so many deaths there when
I think I saw something on that once.
Yeah.
Because it rings a bell.
Well, we were upstairs on the top level, and this was just friends. It wasn't a team. We were just, you know, doing a fun investigation. And one of my girlfriends just started screaming and saying all this weird stuff, and she had gotten jumped by a female spirit that had been murdered up there. And she was feeling what this woman felt. And she was saying, no, stop. And I didn't know what was going on at first. And then I realized it and I helped talk her out of it. I said, all right, tell her you got the message. Tell her to go away. Tell her to get off of you, that you understand. You'll relay her story. And it backed off. But, you know, you can get jumped. I mean, it happens.
Well, that's sometimes the only way that a spirit knows how to communicate is
some of them are desperate to communicate because they want that closure, you know, because their death, like if they were murdered or something, their death could still be one of those unsolved mysteries, you know, because nobody was ever charged or the wrong person was charged and they want the real person, you know, brought to justice.
Yeah, and there's no telling. I couldn't find any specific details about anything. There was supposedly a woman that was murdered there, but there's not a lot of documentation on the thing. So, but yeah, it happened like that. I've got it on audio. My camera was pointing the opposite way, and I set my camera down when she started screaming. So you can hear everything, but you can't see it. But she probably doesn't want it shown anyway, but we played the audio at Dragon Con when we were doing a paranormal panel. We played the audio for people.
Cool. So you told us earlier that you teach others how to use the equipment.
Oh, and a lot more.
Okay. Well, last summer, you know, people couldn't go anywhere. We're all quarantined, locked down.
Right.
And I kept watching online about, you know, all this Paracon was canceled. That Paracon was canceled. I usually do Dragon Con.
Yeah, we were seeing all of that too.
So, and then I started noticing there's a lot of Facebook shows, but there's not any teaching shows. So, I talked to a few other people that I had met online on some other panels that we had done, and I said, look, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we're all, let's do it, let's do it. So I started Ghost Education 101, and we have done presentations like going through the different types of hauntings, like residential and intelligent hauntings, and mm-hmm. doing a PowerPoint presentation. Protocols and procedures on how to conduct an investigation the proper way, the paperwork, the interviews. We've done one on equipment, you know, the most popular equipment that you see on television. We did a whole presentation on that and the faults of all the equipment. We've done like 14 presentations. I mean, you can look up the Facebook page. So if anybody's like getting into the paranormal and wanting to investigate, check out our videos, because we really think they'll help you a lot. Because there's also a lot of legal issues you need to know if you're going into a house and saying we're a paranormal team, we want to investigate. Like there's one instance where this team told these people that they had a demon in their house and just left. Well, the man committed suicide. I mean, you know, that's, you just don't do certain things. And these young kids need to know some of the do's and don'ts before they dive in or going into somebody's house. So that's kind of what that is about.
Yeah, because when you go in and do the home investigations, you got to make sure that it's okay with the homeowner if you are going to be showing anything.
Yeah.
And you also got to be very courteous and everything, because they're the ones inviting you in.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're calling you because they're scared in the first place, and your job is to calm them down and give them reasons and explanations.
Yeah, peace.
Not to give them something scary and then say bye-bye. You know,
that's just wrong.
Wrong.
No.
So, we had Bishop Long on. He did a demonology presentation. We had Martha Decker. She was a police investigator. She did a presentation on how to interview potential clients, like, you know, ask the same question five different times and see if you get the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's some really good stuff. So I just encourage people to check it out.
So do you have a YouTube channel too to see all of this stuff on?
Yeah, we have. It's Ghost Education 101. We have two channels, but they're the same thing. One of them, some reason we're locked out and we can't get back in and nobody knows why. So I had to redo a whole nother channel. So there's two, but it's so. But yeah, all the presentations we've done, I edit and then I put on there, so they're all in one place.
That's cool.
There's one. Heather, she did a presentation on non-technical tools, like old school investigating tools without batteries and lights. And it's very interesting. You know, a lot of people don't have a lot of money to buy things, but there's things
too.
Like strings of bells and styrofoam cups. I mean, there's different things you can use, and that presentation goes through all that.
Oh,
cool.
So that's stuff we're gonna have to check out just for fascination
purposes. Yeah.
One of our viewers here asked a question: how do you teach people to protect from a bad spirit that might be, and I believe he meant out of the student's league?
You know, it comes down to your beliefs, your backgrounds, your religion. You know, I have grounding techniques. You know, there's the white light. You know, a demon doesn't give a crap about white light. You know, you have to have a certain amount of security within yourself. And yeah, you know, something bad's going to attack the weakest link. So you need to always be mentally prepared when you go into a location. So protection is a real personal thing. Sometimes I'll just go out barefoot and walk in the grass and get grounded by the earth. Sometimes that'll do it. I wear an Archangel Michael medallion. I carry him with me in my wallet when I go to investigation. So you have to put your faith in something. It doesn't have to be religion, but you can put it in. If you believe imagining that white light is going to protect you, then it will, because you have put that out there into the universe that is going to work for you. So it's real personal. There's not one thing that works for everybody.
No.
Right.
No, but it's like having a bit of confidence.
Yeah, confidence. I mean, I was attacked physically once several years ago in a place that I didn't think anything was even there. It was an old school.
Oh, wow.
And it put me in the bed for 2 days with pain in my ribs. It hit so hard. You know, and I wasn't prepared. I mean, if I had maybe grounded or done some protection, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Who knows? It may still have happened. But
those old schools had a lot of abuse, some of them back in the day, because the teachers would abuse the students if they got out of line.
Well, when I got in there, I saw him. It was a principal from the 50s. I saw him. I thought I had communicated with him. I said, dude, we're just in here to do a lecture. The school was a community center, and they had asked us to come in and do a presentation on Paranormal 101. And then we were going to do an investigation in the school. But I saw him, being a medium, I saw him. I said something to one of my teammates. I said, yeah, there's a man there that's said he looks like he's from the 50s. He was a principal. I don't think he's, you know, did any harm with him. Well, I was wrong. He got two of us. He knocked me over. He knocked my teammate into the wall. He was a Marine. This was powerful. It hit me through the chest, doubled me over, and took the breath out of me. The rest of them come running down the hall, going, "Oh my God, what happened? What happened?" And I can't talk. I'm like, So you have to be prepared for the unexpected when you do paranormal investigating.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't emphasize that enough.
I have yet to get the wind knocked out of me when I'm out doing one.
It changed my whole perspective on investigating because.
But it did.
That right then I knew this is no joke. This is all real. I don't know. It took a lot of energy for whatever happened to happen to us.
A lot of angry energy.
Angry.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Some really.
Well, it was weird when it was like he went through me. I got a lot of information. I don't even know how to explain it, but I just understood a lot. I don't want to say anything because they know who he was after I described who he was. They knew who he was. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, that was someone. The guy gave his name. He was the principal from this year to this year. And so I don't want to say what I think he did because I don't know, you know, I don't want to start anything. But he was not a good dude.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you and I, when we think principal, because when we grew up, I don't know how old you are, but when I grew up, the principal was an authority figure. You could trust
the principal. Yeah. Don't want to. Yeah.
You know,
the principal. Yeah. I'm 55.
The principal at my high school, I was in his office almost every other day. And man, every time he's like, are you ever going to learn?
So, that's funny.
You know, but he was a nice guy. He was like a guy that would sit there and make sure that we were safe, you know, had a safe environment to go to school in, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I mean, the guy was, you know, a nice guy. I mean, yeah, we gave him shit because that's what we did. We had a nickname for him, but it was all because we liked the guy, you know.
Yeah.
He was a nice principal. He was unique, you know. I guess it was the best way to put it, you know.
Yeah, that's not nice.
But, you know, so when you grow up like that, and I'm like 53, and that was like in 85, you know, my 84, 85, my senior year when I graduated, you know, you don't think that. You don't think, when you think principal, you think, you know, there's a nice guy, he's, you know, or whatever, you know. You don't think bad or evil.
This was way, way out in the country south of Georgia in this little tiny community. I don't even know if they have a town. So, you know, no telling what was going on out there in the 50s with this man and these schoolboys. I mean, Anyway,
you know, back in that era, they actually, the authority figures were challenged a lot by the youth.
Yeah.
So that could
a lot of rebels back then.
That's true.
Could have been just a lot of pent up anger.
He had some. So. He let me see it.
Yeah, see, that's one thing I hope I never come across. I mean, so far, the worst thing I've ever had was stumbling across a deer that was laying down, and this SOB not letting me live that one down because I jumped, you know, and he's like, you want to go check your pants? Like, I'm okay. It was just a little baby fawn, but I grew up in the area. I should have known better. I should have known that it was a possibility that they could have been that close to the building in the woods there. Yeah.
All right. Tom's got another question, Joe. How do you remove these spirits, or do you just record?
It depends on the client.
I think this one might have been referring to the principal that you were talking about.
The principal, that place needed some spirit rescue counseling, but I was not in the position to do it because we had, the thing was that made this really intelligent was we had been in there for hours, all our cameras running. We had packed up everything and had taken it to the van and had come back in to say goodbye to the two people that were, you know, closing the building down. Mm-hmm. And we're standing there, so it's me and two other roommates and these two people. And the long hallway, the lights started going off and on, just like in a horror movie. And I said, I think he wants to talk to us. Do you want to walk down the hall with me? And my teammate said, sure. And that's, we got halfway down the hall, and that's when it happened. So we left immediately after. So, and I haven't been back because we haven't. The lady that let us in there in the first place got really ill, and you know, we haven't been able to go back. But I don't know what kind of cleansing it would take to get that one out of there. I mean, because you have to realize spirits have free will. Just waving some sage around is not going to do it. Sometimes you can make a grid or some barriers that can hold them back. But if they don't want to go, you can't make them go. And that's what people don't realize. So, you know, it would take a medium communicating with him. I mean, there's certain techniques you can use, like calling on ancestors of his, like if his parents were all on the other side, we could have an angel technician call for his father to come to the door and say, you need to come with me type of thing. There's certain techniques you can use, but you can't, there's no guarantee. I mean, there's not, because they have free will. I mean, it's.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a spirit that's in denial, that they passed away.
Yeah. It sounds like
they just don't believe that they're dead. They're not going to move on. No matter what you do.
And even if some of them do realize they're dead, they
just don't want them. They're too angry.
And people use this term, I don't like a lot, earthbound. They're not bound. They do have free will. They are dwelling. I say they're like earth dwelling. They're dwelling in, you know, kind of our realm, but they're not bound. There's nothing like, you know, they're not chained up in chains and cages. Yeah. They can move on. They just may not want to. Or know how to, or be aware, like you said, if they don't know they're dead.
Right.
State of confusion. They're not going to go.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, not earthbound, but
earth dwelling. That's what I call it.
Dwelling. So
they're still living around here. They're just not. They're not technically bound. I don't believe, because I mean, from everything I've learned through mediumship classes and different things, is they have free will. It's just their state of mind that they're living in that will keep them in the earth plane.
So their mind might actually be broken at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then And then they may not be understanding what they're seeing, or can't understand why nobody can see them,
or hear them.
Why no one's talking to them, or they can't hear them, or anything like that.
Yeah,
touch them.
I mean, everything's frequency and vibration. I mean, if they're not connect, you know, frequencies aren't matching up, they're not seeing who they need to see. I mean, there's all kinds of theories, mm-hmm. you know, about it. So
that's what's so fun about the paranormal world.
Yeah.
We
had a the spirit in this client's house, and his name was Willie. And we just said, look, you know, you can't bother this lady. You can go anywhere you want to, but you can't stay here. You know, if you don't want to go to light or wherever you think heaven is, whatever it is to you, you don't have to, but you cannot bother this woman anymore. And we were doing a spirit box session and plain as day, it's like, all right, cool. You can't say, all right, cool. I was like, all right, we're agreed. You go somewhere else. And then I've got the video on my, I think it's on my Mystery Center page. I think the video of us talking to Willie is on there, and you'll hear him say, all right, cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
to have something like that, and I don't think anything like that would come.
So, did he ever bother the lady again?
She sold the condo and made a bloody fortune. So I don't know.
She probably advertised it as haunted.
But her aunt was also visiting that I could communicate with, and then her aunt about a year later came back to me when I was meditating and had a message for her. And I texted her and I said, I'm going to ask you a weird question. Do you like avocado toast? And she's like, that's the strangest thing. She said, yeah, I love it. I get it every time I go out. And I said, well, your aunt says to use those dishes you inherited, and even if it's for avocado toast. And she said, that's when she told me she didn't live there anymore. So she didn't know if Willie might come back or not. So it's fun. It's interesting.
So when you make a communication or a connection with a spirit and stuff,
yeah,
you're able to like know what their background is?
Only when they tell me. I mean, I only get what they tell me.
Okay, so they have to physically or literally tell you their background, their name, or anything of that.
Names do not count on me for names. I do not do names. I rarely get names. That's one of the hardest things as mediums are names. There's some that are great at it. I'm not one of them. And when I say hear, I don't physically hear because I don't. But it's a download of information. That's the only way I know how to say it. It just starts coming, and you know it's not from you because your mind is in a different place, so you know it's from the spirit, and you can feel it's a different energy. So the stuff just starts coming, and as long as we can keep connected. Now, last year, my connection to the spirit world went in the toilet. My mother passed away in March, and it was very stressful. And then I was out of work for 7 weeks. My business was shut down with COVID. I was completely stressed. Then I had to sell my mother's house and clean it out. And I could not connect to a spirit but my life depended on it because I was so out of kilter spiritually. And
out of tune.
I was out of tune. I was like, I was emotionally shut down, exhausted mentally. Mm-hmm. And so, but I've got back on track, started my meditating again, everything. So it's working again.
So you're bringing the harmonics back on.
Meditate every night during the five nights a week. Yeah, because when your mind is so preoccupied with stress, mm-hmm. you can't shift into that other world because you can't shut your conscious mind off enough to hear them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
So, and my mind, I couldn't shut everything off. So. Yeah, it was stressing me out because I really missed it because it's such a fulfilling thing to be able to give somebody that message. And I was really missing it.
Interesting. So whenever you do make communication like that, do you have to put yourself into a certain mindset, or is it something that actually just comes?
It depends. Sometimes I'll drive home from work and I won't have the radio on or anything. I'll just drive home quiet in silence. And if you occupy the conscious mind, which is driving, the subconscious mind can connect sometimes and they can communicate, and I can get a message for somebody while I'm driving home from work and then call them up when I get home. I mean, I don't have to be with a person to give them, you know, like if I'm talking to you, I don't have to be talking to you to get a message for you. I can like be driving home from work. It's just strange how it happens. Or I've had them they used to wake me up, and I had to set rules. You cannot wake me up when I'm sleeping, because it's very exhausting, because you just,
well, yeah,
you keep seeing it, and you're trying not to see it, and you're trying to sleep, and I'm a horrible sleeper anyway. It's like, all right, this is the rules. If I'm in that bed, we're closed for business.
Right. So do you have any like spirit guides or anything that kind of helps you with?
Yeah, we all do. You have spirit guides. Everybody has spirit guides. Now, a lot of people say, you know, have names for their spirit guides, and oh, you know, my spirit guide is Butterfly. I don't have a clue who they are. They have told me, you don't need to know who we are. You just need to trust that we're here. And I'm like, oh, really? Cool.
That's kind of interesting, because yeah, my spirit guide actually told me her name.
Yeah, some do, but mine think I will put a story to them, and I'll try to figure out who they are and when they live, and they know me, so I can't, you know, I just know they're there. There's one that I see a lot, and he shows up in some of my water scrying pictures. That's another thing we could talk about, but I don't know names. Don't know names, but I know they're there, because we have a numbers game. I'll say, send me my numbers, and they appear in three. It's like 777 or 222. And when I say it, a car will pull up beside them. Their license plate will have 222 on it. I mean, it's a game. So yeah, they're there.
Well, I'm like totally fascinated, because you know, when he said something and he was talking about how he doesn't really hear that, but it's like something that's in your mind.
Yeah.
It took me back to when I was sitting at my computer, and I found Tanya. What happened? And then what I've been saying ever since.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, yeah. I had an angel on my shoulder.
Brenda, sorry, Philip. Brenda helped
me find her.
Yeah.
My wife, I've been married for 11 years now. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we've been together for 15.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was sitting there at my computer, and MySpace was still around. And this little voice in my head told me to go to her profile.
Yeah.
I don't know how the name popped in my head, or how I just search this area and find this person. And then I did, and I contacted her, and we've been together ever since. And yeah. I always said that it was before that I was with a woman that was a mother of my youngest.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was with her for 11 and a half years. It was the longest I was with anybody. And she was the purest soul I ever met in my life. And she passed away just before our little one turned 9 years old.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So it's, and you know, yeah, it's been kind of weird ever since.
It's been a lot weird of things.
Everything started happening for me with actually predicting like when bad things are going to happen to somebody, you know, and then it got worse. Mm-hmm. I say it got worse.
Psychic. Yeah, you're making psychic connections.
It happens. Yeah. It got worse after I had the leukemia and I went through the hospital, and then I was able to narrow it down to a few people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like something, and then I get a call a couple of days later. You know.
You could dive deeper into that if you want to and develop.
No. Yeah, I've kind of isolated myself, so I live out in the country, not too close to family members and in the city anymore, so that I don't get that too often. You know, it happens a lot less often. So
you can talk to your guides and say, look, I don't want this. I don't want this coming to me, and have them help you if it bothers you when these things happen.
There's ways of blocking it.
Yeah. I mean, like, with them waking me up, it was like, no, you cannot do this to me. I have to get some sleep.
Yeah, I lost Brenda. Then it was Mike, my stepfather, Mike, my dad, my Uncle Ralph, my Uncle Alan.
Whoa, that's a lot of loss.
All in a short period of time. That was like in a 3-year span. And these people were close to me. And then when I lost my mother, I saw that coming before it happened too. You know, and that was the worst, because my mother was always my rock.
She's still there. That's the good thing about it. I mean, in my view, she's still there. But I was with her for 4 days before she passed. She had Alzheimer's for 11 years. She had not known me for probably 5 years, hadn't spoken really other than mumbling for like 3 years. So I was with her, and my sister was with me. We were both with her, but when my sister would leave, my sister is religious and she knows about my ghost stuff, you know, but I won't talk about it, blah, blah, blah. So when she would leave, I'd get to mom and say, now mom, when you get on the other side, there's going to be some things that you're not going to, you know. I was telling her, I said, now I want you to go have fun. Don't worry about coming back to visit me for a year or so, but when I'm ready for you, you need to show up. And I gave her a code word. I said, you'll learn about communication when you get on this side. You'll learn about ITC. I said, when I hear this word, when I'm doing ITC, I'll know it's you. You know, now she's out of it, but I know her spirit was hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
So her birthday a few weeks ago, I have a Frank's box, from Franksumption, and I only will use it for good. I won't take it to an investigation. And I said, mom, if you can hear me, I want to hear the code word. And I got it. So it wasn't her voice, but I got the word. It's a 3-syllable word. And it's, oh, wow. I said, okay, cool. I'll talk with you more later. Go have fun. So they're over there, you know.
Well, the thing is, though, they may not actually be able to synthesize their own voice.
No. She did once about 2 years ago. I used to do a lot of ITC at home. I don't anymore because I have other things like this Ghost Education 101. It takes a lot of work. But her voice came through calling my name just as clearly as could be, and she said Phil, not Philip, because that's what my mom called me, that's what my family calls me. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. And I talked to some medium about it, said, oh yeah, you know, when you have Alzheimer's, you're halfway there and halfway there, you know, she's in the middle.
Yep.
So her spirit was like saying hello to you. And I said, it was wild. I called my sister, I said, you got to hear this, and she didn't want anything to do with it. I don't want to hear it. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what ITC was originally for, was to communicate with our loved ones. It was us paranormal people that adapted it to talking to ghosts. I mean, it was, you know, if you look back at the history of it, it was for comfort and contacting our loved ones.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, that also makes sense. You know, people say, you know, they always ask the doctor when somebody's in that like comatose type state of mind when they're like in hospice or something. Yeah. And they like, do you think they can hear us or understand us when we're talking to them? Mm-hmm. It's like everybody asks that questions of the doctors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's almost proof right there that they can. I mean, it's like that. It proves it because it also proves it because, you know, when my stepfather was in hospice, he's like, was hanging on. He couldn't talk no more. It was just, but we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And everybody was there. And my mom went up to him and finally whispered, you know, that she was going to be all right.
Yeah.
And then he was gone.
Yeah. Sometimes they want permission. They want to know everybody's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to say something I forgot. Never mind. Oh, well, it'll come to you. That's what happens on a Friday night at my age. It's like, oh, there was a call. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
So, do you get any kind of reactions when you come across the residual?
Physically, no. No, I mean, I can feel like energy, but not. I explain it like this way. Let's say you're at a party and everybody's having a great time, and some Debbie Downer walks in the door. You feel how the energy drops.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of the same way with locations. You know, if you're at a party and it's really boring, and then the life of the party walks in, how it automatically lifts. It's kind of the same way with locations for me. You can walk in and go, oh crap, I don't know what happened here, but it wasn't good. You know, that kind of thing. Because I think locations hold energy. I mean, that's what residual, you know, recordings are all about. Yeah. So that energy is there, good or bad sometimes.
No, I'm just kind of wondering because I know that with residual energy is just basically like a DVD on replay.
Yeah, I don't. I've never been like choked like I have in a place with an evil entity. I don't get choked, but you can feel the heaviness or the lightness. I've been places and gone, you know, like there's this cemetery that in St. Augustine that I have been by like 5 times. It's only open once a month, and I've never been there when it's open. And this past November when I was there, it was open. And I got to go in, and it's supposedly one of the most haunted cemeteries around. I walked in there. It was the most warm, beautiful feeling place. I'm like, there ain't nothing bad in here. I don't know what y'all are. I mean, it was like I could lay down and take a nap right here on this tombstone and be fine. I mean, it was, you know, you can feel these things.
Yeah, yeah. You can feel a lot of the energies if you pay attention to them.
I didn't feel anything bad. It felt beautiful in that cemetery.
So have you done any investigations in cemeteries?
Stone Mountain, Georgia. I don't know if you've ever heard of Stone Mountain, Georgia, but it's a pre-Civil War town. There's a very, very old cemetery there. We did an overnight. Well, it wasn't overnight. We were there like 3 in the morning. Yeah, I mean, I've had spirits talk me to their grave through the spirit box, like straight, stop, left, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people say, why would someone want to haunt a cemetery? I mean, well, maybe it's not the person buried there. Maybe it's a loved one looking for them. It's not always the person that's in the grave.
Exactly. You know, and then talking about cemeteries, there's something that I've seen that was kind of intriguing on one of the Facebook groups that I'm on.
Yeah.
Someone posted a video that they took while they were sitting in their Tesla, and they were in the cemetery, driving through the cemetery.
Yeah.
Tesla has this screen in the middle, and it also has like sonar type sensors on the bumper area.
Wow.
Which sense when people are around, and it will actually show you that it's a person on that screen. And it'll sense when the people are around. and it'll actually make the car hit its brakes, you know, push its brakes.
Oh, my God. I need a Tesla. I can't afford it.
This person had the camera. I think it was a cell phone camera, but he had the camera. And they were driving around the cemetery, and the camera was on the screen, and you would literally see the symbols for the people show up on the screen all around the areas of the cemetery. And it was also in a position where you could see the area that the person, that there was supposed to be a person
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
And there was nothing there.
Nothing there. It's kind of like an SLS camera, but on a car.
Kind of like that.
That is
something that's really intriguing.
Yeah, that is amazing technology right there.
Gosh, I got to look into that. I wonder what they... Yeah, Tesla's out of my tax bracket.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be lucky to be able to afford one wheel on a Tesla.
or maybe the lug nut.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is amazing technology what they have come up with on that. And then this person's showing that. I mean, literally.
Yeah. It's like... And if he didn't have his camera, everybody went, yeah, yeah, whatever. But having his camera, yeah, got the evidence. That's cool.
There you go.
Yeah. Bonnie. Oh, my God, Bonnie. Yeah, honey, you know how much I've gotten my equipment. I probably could. Bonnie's a friend of mine. She came down to Florida with me, and we investigated the Spanish Military Hospital Museum last November for my birthday. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. The lady said the building was not haunted. She was adamant that it was not haunted. We're like, okay.
All right.
I don't know who was saying hello, but it wasn't one of us. Yeah, but yeah, I got a video on my Brave Souls paranormal page of that investigation of yeah, that was fun. We had a good time in there. But I love Bonnie. She lives in Florida. She's right. I always say my retirement account is in my equipment. It was. I know, girl. It was. Just look at the video. But as the owner, I was trying to explain to the owner that, you know, it's a reproduction of the building that was originally on that site, which was the Spanish Military Hospital. And it has been a million other things since then, but the ghosts, the spirits don't know that's not the original building.
No.
And they also don't know. I said, you know, spirits can wander. This is the oldest street in America. They can be walking all over the place around here. We don't know.
Wait, which street was it?
Avilés in St. Augustine is the oldest street in America.
It's actually older than Bourbon Street in New Orleans.
Oh God, yeah, it's like 1500 somethings. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
The building next door to this, I've investigated many times. You may have heard of it. Antiques and Unique Collectibles. It's been on a lot of the paranormal shows, but they are no longer in that building. The landlord kicked them out and put the building up for sale, so it can't get in there anymore. But there's two spirits in there that I know. There's a little boy named Tim and a man named Henry. We invited them to come over to the building next door. And they did, because it was on the spirit box. It was like, Henry. Yeah, so we got them to interact with us. You know the cat balls that light up when you touch them?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one of those, and it would light up when we'd ask them to light it up, and it was fun. But we know it was them from next door. It was like, come over here. Come over here.
Hey, Joe. I think that's something we need to invest in.
What?
Those little cat balls that light up whenever they get touched like that.
Yeah, they're cheap. And, I mean, it's true. You can bang on a table and jump up and down, and it will not light up. But if you touch it, it will light up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's some very inexpensive investigating equipment. A cat, you know.
Well, I have this little thing that I do. It's glow sticks.
Oh, yeah. Get the little glow sticks and put them in a balloon, blow up the balloon and put it, and you can, you know, put that in front of a camera and see if it moves. Got to make sure there's no breeze in the room, but yeah, there's all kinds of fun things you can do. But I love glow sticks.
Yeah, these were a big hit whenever we first started this. We went in to the paranormal, or not paranormal, but the Wisconsin Podcast Association.
Yeah,
their first annual meeting and everything.
No, their first annual festival.
Our festival, thank you, Joe. But yeah, I was running around with those and handing them out to everybody.
Oh,
they were actually a big hit.
Our Dollar General or dollar store here sells them, and I load up on them. But they are great to put down on steps. If you're in a building that's got steps, you know, put one on each step. Or if there's a bad spot in the floor, put one there. There's great uses for glow sticks. I mean, if you're investigating a property and need to go outside and there's a hole in the yard, put one there. You know, just make sure to collect them all before you leave. But, I mean, I got glow sticks in my kit over here. What did you say? What did Bonnie say?
You can get, I'll tell you though, these things are cheaper than dirt at the Dollar Tree.
She did. Bonnie's the one that brought the cat ball.
Yeah.
Been seen everywhere.
The three pack of the ones like you put in the jack lanterns during Halloween.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Dollar General, Dollar Tree. Yep.
That's where I go and get these.
Yep. Motion lights. Yeah, motion lights. Harbor Freight. I don't know if y'all have Harbor Freight. They're online.
Yeah. Yep.
Harbor Freight's everywhere,
I get their magazines. I get their emails.
Yeah, their cases. I use their metal cases. But they have those. Their motion detector lights work really well, too. Motion sensor lights. They're cheap.
Yeah, they have one in Madison. Big one.
They got two right across from the mall.
You can get a whole bunch and put on the steps and see if something moves down a staircase with those. I mean, there's a lot of.
There you go. I mean, see, we're learning. We're learning stuff here.
Yeah.
That's another reason I like talking to other investigators because.
Oh, yeah. You know, always learn something new.
They have different ways of doing things. They have, you know, some of them do the same exact stuff that we do, and some of them actually do something different that we may not ever have thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like Bonnie and the cat toy. I mean, I was like, what? Huh? And then somebody started taking them and put a paranormal label on them and charging a fortune for them. I'm like, you go online to Chewy.com and get them for like nothing. Don't, you know, somebody trying to make a fast.
Actually,
go to your local pet store and probably buy them by the dozen for a couple of bucks.
I got my pet store.
Just the other day, I was in Dollar Tree, and they have a new item there, which is a liquid filled rubber ball that has those little light up toys in the center. All you gotta do is drop it, and it goes off.
Huh. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Disco light. So you can use a disco light instead of a laser grid. I bought something the other day. Hold on. Let me see what I did with it.
We're gonna have to put this innovative here.
Joe, we're gonna have to put this on the bonus footage.
All right, this is called a liquid crystal sheet.
What on the bonus footage?
All this fun stuff here.
And
yeah, that's one of those heat sheets.
Yeah. Wow. This was cheap. They're on Amazon.
Yeah, I know about those. Those things actually are that if it's room temperature, it stays one color.
Yeah, it's
as
like
soon
a
as you warm color. It up, right. As soon as you touch it, warm it up or anything like that, it will show the heat. It'll show whatever
like a thermal imaging camera.
Yeah, it's kind of like a thermal imaging camera without the camera.
So my thought was put a trigger object on it and point a camera on it. And if you're gone, you can look and see if it's changed colors, like where the.
I'm all for that.
So I like trying fun things, especially when it's not expensive. And this
you said you found that on Amazon?
Yeah, on Amazon. Got liquid crystal sheets. Yeah.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Amazon.
I order from Amazon.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places to shop too.
God, I get so excited when I see the Amazon truck come down the road.
Yeah, the Amazon truck, the ice cream.
Sitting there refreshing. Sitting there refreshing your browser every 5 minutes, tracking your packages.
Just a little bit ago before we came on.
So two stops away. He's almost here.
Hurry up.
I'm sitting in the living room with my dinner in the oven waiting for it to get done, and I get a knock on the door, and they delivered my chair I bought 2 days ago.
Oh, storage, yeah.
No, brand new chair.
Oh, a chair. I thought you said a terabyte. Okay.
No, I got a brand new office chair, and I've got a desk coming, and I'm going to basically clear everything behind me out, and I'm turning this whole back room into an office.
Ah, very nice.
Studio office. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh yeah, that's you plug the spirit box into it, you know, and it filters out all the static and has the echo and the reverb and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, you must be good with electronics then.
Well, I mean, that one is not hard. I mean, I can't solder and all that stuff. I tried soldering. That was a disaster.
Oh, that's easy to do.
This is like plugging stuff in and yeah. But, if anybody wants to know how to make one, I call them spirit box enhancers. Other people call them portals. I don't like to use that word never mind. But, I got the parts list on ITC Collaboration. You can go on there. The parts lists are on there. Everything's on Amazon. You can get everything for like, what Bonnie say? I think it was like $200.
Yeah.
She had everything sent to me, and I made it and then gave it to her. I think that's what we did. I made a few for different people.
Cool. All right, Joe. It's about that time, and then we'll get some. Yeah.
Anything left you want to promote real quick?
My book's on Amazon.
Spirit Reflections.
Yeah, I do water scrying, you know, getting spirit images in water. And, you can go. It's a fun book. You can go online on Amazon and get it and see some spirit faces that are in water. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But everybody, please check out Ghost Education 101. I can't remember. We've got something coming up March the 3rd. I think it's just a discussion panel with four educators that we have just mm-hmm. taking questions.
Is that a live event then?
Yeah, they're live. It's twice a month on Wednesday nights at 9 Eastern time. But if you look on the Ghost Ed page, there'll be an event that's coming up next. You can see and you'll tell all about it.
So Ghost Education 101, that's found on YouTube.
And Facebook, yep.
And Facebook, okay.
Yeah, so you can like us on Facebook. And
subscribe on YouTube and like on Facebook.
Yes, thank you.
All right. That's
it, just my book that's self-published. Not a lot to read, so because I don't like to read. I listen to books on tape a lot, my paranormal books. This one's to look at, not much to read, so you'll be fine there.
Yeah, Bonnie's asking you if your ear's still ringing.
My ear's still ringing, and I heard somebody scream help me the other night, so I'm hoping I'm not turning clear audience. God, I hope I'm not, because I will not be happy if I start hearing voices. I've been talking to the spirit guides. Like, I do not want to hear voices. Yeah, I've had I've been having ringing in the ears since like last summer.
Ouch.
And
it's bad.
I've
had that for 5 years.
Yeah, it's driving me nuts. But then I've heard voices in the other room like 3 times, and I'm like, oh, crap. I hope that's not what is happening. So I don't know. It's just, I've had it looked at. There's nothing wrong. Could be getting old, and that might be it. I don't know, but it's quite annoying.
Yeah, but we're all getting old.
Listening to all that loud music and going to all those concerts, that's why you got ringing in your ears.
That's true. I do love me some concerts.
All right. And then let's see, we got next Wednesday, we got Eric Moore. I hope I'm saying that right. And he's a member of the Spectral Ohio Paraforensic Paranormal Team.
Ooh.
And he works at the...
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Ours was a mouthful, yeah.
And he works at the Underground Paranormal Network. Oh. And then...
All right.
Thursday, you'll find Mark and I on Ghost Buzz.
Ghost Buzz. Is that Facebook?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
YouTube. And I think it's YouTube.
Yeah. Good deal. Well, thanks for having me on. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, well,
thank you for coming on.
I told you I could talk.
I remember hanging around.
I sure will.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for watching. Remember,
bye, Bonnie.
Stay safe, and anything's possible.
That's right. Be prepared.